Salutations and
hello. Funny all the different words they have for hello. I mean, it's just hello.
I didn't even, and how?
Wait a minute, hi. Huh.
Oh, welcome to the silliness of the Owenses. We are Robert and Rosalie Owens. We are here to bring you the word and some music and some silly jibber jabber.
Oh, and a reading from the book Faith.
That's right.
We're also going to do that.
Yes.
So we're glad you're with us today.
We are.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a beautiful rainy day here in the Promised Land. We're just having a wonderful, you know, every once in a while. So every time, once in a while, you need a rainy day. Well, we're having a few rainy days. Matter of fact, we need a lot of rainy days because we've been in a drought for several years, and it's getting kind of dry here. But the Promised Land is still getting ready to bloom. You can feel the ground just
shaking.
Man, you can look out, you can hear the grass getting ready to grow. I mean, boy, it's just about to explode.
Okay.
Okay. So. I think we're going to do some music.
The ice skating rink, right? That song is very appropriate.
Right, you know, because our redemption, you know, was purchased for us by Christ at the cross.
Amen.
You know, when he died and he carried our sins on himself and paid the price. And when he died, he said, "It is finished." And that means it's all done and over with. He won the victory and we are redeemed the second that we accept him as Lord. The second we do it, we've been redeemed. Let's do it again. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Filled with the Holy Ghost, I am on my sin. Out there, we get called out of the darkness and into the light. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. And that's where we're going right now. Gonna do one of these old-timey songs that I've been redeemed. That's been around a long time. Sang it in many of churches, many of revival meetings, camp meetings, everything else, and at the missions. And just we've sung it out in the desert. We've sung it on the street corners. You know, that's a good old song, but this song is much older than that. Been around for a long time.
Long time.
I wander so aimless like Bill was saying. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. And Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, no more in darkness. So good. You know, he gave us time to find him, you know, in our lives. How many of us wandered and wandered and wandered? I don't know about anybody else, but I know I wandered in darkness for 30 years. Had no idea about God or salvation or anything. And then I saw him. I met him. I gave my life to him. And I saw the light. And this is a song right here. It's one of our homegrown songs. And it's a song that sort of tells what happened, how we got there, and what happened to me after it came. My name is John the Baptist. I'm here to spread the word. Messiah, he is coming, but he's not like you've heard. He doesn't have a sword of steel, no helmet on his head. Didn't come to war with man, he came to love instead. The Pharisees were waiting for a king to lead the cause, to be their Alexander, enforcing all the laws. When he finally came, they nailed him to a tree. They thought it was a 10 count, but he got back up in three. And I just want to talk about Jesus, how he saved. Stand beside him, instead I hid in shame. What sin can man commit that is worse than what I've done? Though I knew the truth, I denied God's own son. He's come back from the grave, he's risen from the dead. He told me I'm forgiven, but that isn't all he said. He told me go to all the world and preach in his name, and all who call upon him are forgiven just the same. And I just want to talk about Jesus. Bobby Backstreet, I was living on the road, pitching up to heaven on a stairway made of gold. Alias Anonymous didn't even need a name. Sold my soul for being stoned until he called my name. All the people in the world who think they are complete, look into your heart of hearts and see there is a need. John the Baptist came and he made their pathway straight. Simon Peter cried before it was too late. And I just wanna talk about Jesus, how he saved me and he gave me a life that's new. And I know if you believe in Jesus, he will save you. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Oh, man. I'll tell you, I don't know about anybody else, but the change that came over me when God came into my life was just so earth-shaking, so amazing. I couldn't think of anything else to do except tell people about Jesus. And from that day to this, it's been the major part of my life and our life together, Rosalie and I, have been sharing the gospel and trying to tell people about it. Well, now we're going to look into the gospel, the word, and we're going to look into 1 John chapter 1, 11 through 12. Now, I'm reading this out of the Message, so it sounds, Message is a translation of the Bible that we use all the time, and we've told you about it before. It's by Eugene Peterson, and one of the greatest works of man I've ever known. And it's written in American English, so you don't have to have a commentary sitting on your lap every time you read it. So John chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. He was in the world, and the world was there through him. And the world didn't even notice. He came to his own people, but they didn't want him. But whoever did want him, who believed he was who he claimed to be, and would do what he said, he made to be their true selves, their child of God selves. And that's what he does for us. You know, because this world is abnormal. You know, people think, that's why some people end up blaming God. They say, well, you know, if God's around, why does all this evil happen? Why does people get hurt? Why did my loved ones die? Why do people get sick? Why are there wars? Because this world isn't the way God made it. When he was done making it, he said, this is good. Everything's good. You know? But then sin came into the world. And if you want to know about it, read the first couple chapters of Genesis. It'll tell you how it happened. Human beings sinned. And that brought sin into the world and put us out of God's kingdom and into the kingdom of the devil, who is the father of evil and father of sin. And we're born that way. We're born with the curse of this sin. And the whole world has been cursed and is now not the way God made it. It's abnormal. And God gives us free choice, and we have to bear the consequences of our choice.
Yeah.
And that is what the sin-made world is, the consequences of our own choice. All this evil we see is because we chose evil instead of God.
And it's still going on every day. Look at what they just did to Easter.
Oh my.
To the most sacred holiday for us believers.
Our
more sacred than even Christmas. I thought I was going to fall over when I heard what they did to it.
Our country, you know. Talk about, don't like to get political, and this isn't political, this is spiritual. Because we're not in a battle with flesh and blood, we're in a battle with the spirits.
Amen.
And when the leader of our country declares Easter to be Transsexual Visibility Day, and then tells the people coming to the Easter egg hunt, which is, who knows where that all comes from anyhow, at the White House tells them we don't want any religious things coming here. And makes his announcement with a great big guy in a bunny suit standing next to him. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. I mean, 10, 15 years ago, this would have been a cartoon and people would have laughed at it, a Far Side cartoon or something. But it's our life now.
Yes.
And it's the consequences of sin and evil.
Yes.
And all we can do is pray against it, you know, and just pray for the salvation of those people who are perpetrating it. And we have to remember that our country is under judgment. We are under judgment.
We have to be.
And, you know, we have to humble ourselves under that hand of judgment and learn the lessons that we have, because it's just like in our own life. You keep going through the same thing over and over and over again. It's because, guess what? You haven't learned the lesson the first time.
Yeah, well, so I've been there with several things.
Man, we've been there as a couple, we've been there individually, and everybody listening to me has been there. Mm-hmm. You go through the same thing. Why is this happening to me again? Well, because you didn't learn the lesson the first time. Well, now we're going to stay in John. Now we're talking about redemption and being saved. John 3:16, probably the most famous verse in the Bible. I mean, come on, even people, the football people know about this one. They hold up signs, you know, at the football game. So John 3:16, once again out of the Message, says, this is how much God loved the world. He gave his son, his one and only son, and this is why, so that no one need be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. I mean, if that doesn't get somebody up to jumping and shouting, I don't know what should. You know, especially if you've already got it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have it, you can have it. And when it says a whole and lasting life, our whole life is a life with God, with his spirit within us. That's a whole life. A lasting life is an eternal life. And that's what we have. If you have died to self and accepted God, that's the last dying you got to do. Because you may drop this physical body, and it may even be painful to do it. I mean, we all know that. But once it's gone, we're talk about born again. We are born into eternity with our God, walking with all the other saints. And you could want to know what heaven's like? Heaven is being where God is. That's what heaven's like. And hell is being where God isn't. And I know which one I want.
Amen.
Amen. And this verse is the one telling us we can all have it, that he loved us so much, so much, that he himself, God himself, Jesus, the Son of the Trinity, came down and became a human being to carry our sins to the cross. Now I want to turn to Romans chapter 5. Verses 1 and 2. This is an epistle by Paul. Paul wrote most of the New Testament, really. You know, he's the one who wrote Romans. It's probably the greatest thing ever written by the hand of man. You know, and it tells us all about how to live as a Christian. He says, by entering through faith into what God has always wanted to do for us, set us right with him, make us fit for him, we have it all together with God because of our Master Jesus. And that's not all. We throw open our doors to God and discover at the same moment that he has already thrown open his doors to us. We find ourselves standing where we always hoped we might stand, out in the wide open spaces of God's grace and glory, standing tall and shouting our praise. Glory to God. Reminds me of Pat Roberts' first book he ever wrote. It's called Shout It From the Rooftops. He wrote it right after he was saved. And, oh, why aren't we shouting it? Why aren't we shouting it? People go to football games, basketball games, baseball games, basketball, whatever. They're screaming and shouting and yelling. Come on. People stand on the road and scream and shout because it's raining.
That's true.
You know, people scream and shout about everything. But when it comes to faith and having life in God, we're supposed to walk around and just keep it under wraps? I don't think so. Mm-mm. I don't think so. They may have thrown religion and faith, tried to throw it out of school. They can throw religion out. You can't pray in there. You can't talk about God. You can't do any of that. They can't throw faith out because you can pray anywhere.
Amen.
Nobody can stop you from praying.
Amen.
You can pray silently. They don't even know you're doing it. You can pray. God hears you. And you can have faith in your heart no matter what's going on. And that's proven by the people in these concentration camps throughout all ages. The martyrs, the people who have been, you know, destroyed for their faith in Christ, have held their faith in Christ.
Hallelujah.
You know, think about it. All the men who wrote the Gospels, every single one of them, for over all them years, I mean, from the time Christ died and was resurrected, for about 40 years, they traveled around the Roman Empire preaching the Gospel. And every one of them was persecuted. Paul was beaten with rods. He was whipped. He was all kinds, beaten so bad they thought he was dead. They threw him out of the city as dead. Every one of them was martyred. Every one of them was told, if you'll just say it isn't true, we'll let you live. And every one of them said, go ahead and kill me because I know where I'm going. Because they knew it was true. They'd seen with their own eyes.
Yes. I pray that I will be as strong if I get whooped and set and told to deny him.
Yeah, well, it's only God could give us that kind of strength.
Oh, I understand that.
You know, that's what we got to just pray for. It's just like it says, you know, if you're ever hauled into court for the gospel, don't even think about what you're going to say. God will give you the words at the right time.
Hallelujah.
And we just have to trust him for all of that, just yes, as we trust him for our salvation. Now let's look at 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. 1 John, this is written by the Apostle John, the same one who leaned against Jesus at the Last Supper, the brother of James, one of the three inner circle who went up on the Mount of Transfiguration. This is written by him. And he says, but friends, that's exactly who we are, children of God. And that's only the beginning. Who knows how we'll end up? What we know is that when Christ is openly revealed, we'll see him, and in seeing him, become like him.
Hallelujah.
Oh, because he is the firstborn from the dead,
amen,
the leader in the resurrection parade.
Hallelujah, that's a great way to put it.
Amen. I mean, and he's our older brother.
Yes.
He's the Son of God. We are children of God. And when we come into glory with him, because when he comes back, every believer ever has lived or is alive at that time is going to go right into glory with him.
Yes.
And when we do, like it says, we're going to see him as he is, and in seeing him, we'll be like him.
Hallelujah.
You know, and it's not like people say, well, you know, has Jesus come back already? Hey, if he came back already, you'd know it. Because it's going to be, the Bible says it'll be like lightning flashing from the east to the west. Everybody's going to see it. Nobody's going to miss it. And everybody's going to know what it is. And he says, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess, Jesus Christ is Lord. But some people won't accept it in faith.
Well, sure. I mean, some people have to see it to believe it.
And even if they see it, they won't believe it.
That's true.
Some people, like it says in the Bible, they're going to turn away, they're going to walk away, they're going to, even when all that happens, they're going to still continue in their sin. And it's even like today. People can know someone. Like, there's people who know me and you. They knew us before when we were full of sin and living lives, just openly sinful lives. And then they saw us change.
I won't believe that we have.
And they still won't believe. It's been, I had my spiritual birthday last Sunday on Palm Sunday. And I'm 44 years old, 44 years saved. And there are people in my own family who, they still don't believe it. They think I'm running some kind of scam or something. You know, they don't, they think I've been pretending all these years. You know, and I don't know. It's like I say, people will see Jesus. See him appear in the sky.
And not believe.
And not even, they won't accept it.
Yeah.
You know, but praise God. We hope all that helps you out and touches you and brings you into a deeper relationship with God. And hope, open up the Bible. And if you haven't done it, open up the Bible. I mean, there's no better book to read. They don't call it the good book for nothing.
Yes, and my heart was so touched on yesterday. Was yesterday Easter?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. We did a little sunrise service with the neighbors, and the three little kids all came walking out of the house with Bibles in their hands.
Yes.
And they all had a Bible verse to read. It was so exciting.
It was.
And the oldest is 9?
Yeah.
And the youngest 5, something like that?
You know, and here, we've lived in this neighborhood now for about 12 years. And have prayed constantly for our neighbors. And some of them are already saved and stuff. You know, we know that. We have great relationships with all of them, even the ones who don't know the Lord. But we've prayed and prayed and prayed for God's light to just break over this whole neighborhood. And yesterday we had a sunrise service. And next year I'm believing we'll have one and have even more of the neighbors there.
I believe so.
You know, because God is good.
Amen.
God is good.
Amen.
And we just seek to serve him, and we hope you do too. Well, what we're going to do now is have a reading from the book Faith. It's one of a three-book series, Faith, Hope, and Love, and they're made up of essays about Christianity and about Christ and love and faith. And I hope you enjoy it. So here we go, a reading from the book Faith. Here's a free gift. As a retired pastor, I'm still amazed at the number of people who came forward week after week, repenting of sins and seeking salvation. It was often the same people week after week. No matter how much I preached it, no matter how much I taught it, so many never seemed to grasp the idea that the cleansing of sins, salvation, and righteousness are free gifts given to us by our Father. People would cry, "I've been seeking God for years. I've laid at the altar and pleaded over and over for God to guide me, to save me, to help me, and nothing happened. I leave the altar the same poor sinner as when I went up there." My heart breaks for any and all who labor under such beggarly results. My mind would scream as my voice would say, "Salvation is a gift. It isn't necessary for you to go anywhere to get it. You can find it anywhere. It isn't what you do. It's what Jesus has done. All there is to getting saved and to becoming a child of God is to receive something for free. You can't earn it by doing anything." Most of us have been taught and have accepted that it was all about giving up, surrendering, confessing sins. It isn't. It is receiving Jesus Christ as our Savior and confessing him as Lord. I've had people say, "It can't be that simple." It is that simple. It's free and it's available to everyone, everywhere, at all times. Some have asked, "But don't I have to do something about our sins?" No. He has done everything that ever could be done. And this isn't some new teaching or revelation. Our Father God told us about it through his prophet Isaiah long ago. He said, "We're all like sheep who have wandered off and gotten lost. We all done our own thing, gone our own way, and God has piled all our sins, everything we've done wrong, on Him. On Him. This is speaking to about all of us. We have all gone our own way, done what we wanted without any reference to what God wanted us to do. We were stubborn and willful, yet the Father laid the penalty of all that on Jesus. Notice, there was nothing we had to do to save or help ourselves. So how do we get from knowing this in our heads and having this become life in our hearts? John tells us, as many as have received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name. Once again, we do nothing except receive a free gift. John also tells us, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is the Father giving His Son Jesus as our substitute, as our Savior, and all He asks is that we accept Him for what He said He is. There's nothing for us to do except believe that He paid the debt owed for our sins and that He rose from the dead to bring us life. Or, as Paul put it, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. God delivered Jesus to pay the punishment for our sins, and He was raised from the dead when He had paid the full measure, and all we have to do is accept that. We don't have to do anything to earn what He has already paid for. Paul sums it up well in the next verse when he says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, besides salvation, we have peace. There is nothing standing between us and God. We are at peace, and still there is nothing for us to do, is there? Paul tells us as clearly as can be how this all comes about and what the result is when he says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. Look at that a little closer. When we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, that should be the end of us going our own way and doing our own thing. If you're anything like I was before I did this, that shouldn't be too hard, considering where our own choices and our own things have brought us. In other words, if I relinquish being the Lord of my life and give that place to Jesus, I will no longer be separated from God, and I will become His child, a member of His family, with all the rights and responsibilities that means. If we do this, what does the Word say? It says that we will be saved. When does it say we will be saved? It happens as soon as we believe. This isn't pie in the sky. This is here and now reality. What does the Word say we are when we believe? It says we are now children of God. Does that mean now or someday way over there in the future when we get to heaven? No, it says we have it now, even if we don't know fully what that means. Or as John put it, now we are children of God. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. How do we know all this is true? How do we know that as soon as we confess and believe, we are born again into a new life right here, right now? John tells us, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Having learned this, do you believe in the name of Jesus? If you do, then you have eternal life. Eternal life is the nature of God. That means you now have the full nature of God. You are no longer a fallen sinner who needs to beg forgiveness. You are filled with the very nature of God. Peter put it very clearly when he said, "By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." That corruption is spiritual death, and we have escaped it by receiving the divine nature, eternal life. So don't fall into the trap of thinking you have to get good enough to get saved or to see your life change. None of us could ever be that good. It isn't about what we do, it's about what He has done. It isn't about who we are, it's all about who He is. He paid the price. He purchased the freedom of all humans from the grip of Satan, and He extends that freely to all who believe He is who He said He is, that He rose from the dead, and that He is the Savior of all who believe in Him. Come on. It's free. It's yours for the taking. Why wait another minute? You can have it right here, right now. Confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, and it's yours. Got it. Done it. Now tell somebody. Shout it from the rooftops. You are a child of God, living an eternal life in fellowship with our Father. Welcome to the family.
Robert, thank you so much for that reading. It is a great little book, and it's one I know that will bless all of you. And you can get it through Amazon by going to...
Just go to the search line and put in Faith, Dr. Robert Owens, and it'll pull it right up. And it'll also link you to all my other books, or you just click on my name there. It'll take you to my author's page, all 35 that... I just published my 35th book, and they're all available in soft cover and Kindle. One click, you can get them all right there. And so we also want to let you know about our online art store. Rosalie and I are both painters, and we do
paintings.
Yeah,
that's what painters do.
And they're all there, and you just go to the Paradox Shop. You know, really, what you need to do is go to our website, itookarightturn.com, and mail us a form and we'll send you a link. Because spelling it out and everything has to be right. It's called the Paradox Shop.
.com.
And you can get all of our paintings and different things there. So it's been great being with you. Thank you very much for tuning in.
Yes, and have an incredible, marvelous continued week.
Amen. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Took a right turn.